The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Has God's peace been elusive to you?
The first word the resurrected Christ says when he appears to those disciples that first Sunday morning, probably April 5th, AD 33, shalom. And you talk about a shalom that finished Satan, finished sin, finished death, finishes anxiety, finishes depression. That's Jesus, and that's shalom.
Jeremiah Johnston helps you begin unleashing peace in your life. Next.
Hi, welcome to Life Today. I'm Sheila Walsh here with Randy Robison. You know, every now and again, you meet people and you think, yeah, this is a good guy, this is a great girl. You read their book, you enjoy it. And then one of the great joys is sometimes you meet someone and you think, oh, gosh, we're going to be friends. And that's how I felt when I met our guest today, that we would be friends for a lifetime. And so I want to welcome to life Jeremiah Johnston.
Hi, friend. It's great to be here. Thank you, Sheila. Thank you, Randy. It's a blessing to be back.
It's great to have you. And, you know, a very timely topic. I mean, it's always timely. But right. When you're talking about unleashing peace, I mean, what a week to talk about that, right?
Right.
Talk to us a little bit about this idea of peace and the original word yes. that it comes from.
You know, this is the most important word. When you think about the English Bible, our English Bible has 760,000 words. But if you and I were to meet at a train stop, Randy, and we're never going to see each other again, and I had one word to describe the message of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it would be the word shalom. Mm. This is the most important word and should be in our Christian vernacular. 550 times this Hebrew word shalom shows up throughout the Bible. What's amazing is it was always on the tip of Jesus' tongue. He was always talking about shalom. You know, Jesus wants us to be happy. It's not a sin to talk about happiness. Jesus wants us to rejoice. So rejoicing, being happy, the fruit of the Spirit, it all rises out of this foundation called shalom. And yet, so many believers find it elusive today. You know, we've got to get beyond, and that's why I love your program. I love how you elevate Christian thinking on this broadcast. You're known for that. We have to get beyond the bumper sticker theology and the quick hot takes on social media to actually guide people by the hand. Okay, peace shows up 550 times in the Bible. It's God's will for me to live in shalom. Mm-hmm. How do I get there? And so that's what we wanted to do with this new exciting book.
Why did you call it Unleashing Peace?
Because so many of us feel like we're drowning in anxiety.
Yeah.
And I'm especially thinking about, I've noticed when I speak about this topic, Sheila, you're a seasoned communicator, I have to actually scale back my tone. So many people who are struggling with anxiety, they feel like they're drowning.
Yeah.
They need the peace of God unleashed on them. Mm-hmm. And there are things we can speculate about in the Bible, and I love to geek out and speculate about all kinds of Bible questions. We don't need to speculate about shalom. It is God's will for us to live in shalom. Jesus said these things in John 16:33, after he had said all these things, in the world you're going to have tribulation. It's a given. You're going to feel that pressure. But in me, you have shalom. And then he says, be of good cheer. Now, the only person who says that in the Greek New Testament is Jesus. You know, if I were to say, hey, Randy, cheer up, man. It doesn't matter. I can't change your circumstances. Jesus is our shalom. So when he says, take courage, be full of shalom, he's the only one who can change our circumstances.
That's interesting. Now, you said a couple different words. We think of shalom as peace.
Right.
You said happiness. What are all the connotations of that word?
You know, the Bible's indiscriminate how it uses peace, happiness, joy, rejoicing. They're all in there. But the foundation is shalom. And I really want to make sure people understand I'm meaning it in the Hebraic sense. In Greek, it's about 94 times in the New Testament, we have Irene. You might have met someone named Irene. That's peace in the Greek. We're thinking about it more in the Hebraic context, shalom. 550 times, this word, it means to flourish. It's in the, actually, it means it's a verb form. It can be an adjective. It's translated 70 different ways in the NIV Bible alone. Wow. It means to lack nothing. Wholeness, completeness, restoration. The cognates are rest, People feel like they need rest today. Mm-hmm. Peace. Shalom. It's the last thing Jesus says to his disciples. Think about it. The farewell discourse begins John 13. It ends John 16, 33. Take heart. I've overcome the world. Shalom. What's the first word Jesus says? We're in the Easter season. The first word the resurrected Christ says when he appears to those disciples that first Sunday morning, probably April 5th, AD 33, Shalom. Mm. And you talk about a shalom that finished Satan, finished sin, finished death, finishes anxiety, finishes depression. That's Jesus, and that's shalom.
That gives me holy chills. Talking about depression, one of the ways that God is using you powerfully is talking about mental illness within the church.
Right.
And the pandemic seems to have brought a fresh wave. What do you say to people who are struggling with anxiety or depression? How do they unleash the shalom of God in their lives?
First off, I say you're not alone. We are all coming out of either high grade or low grade PTSD coming from this pandemic. I mean, Sheila, you probably know me as a really social guy. I kind of forgot how to be social. I don't know about you all through the pandemic. Like, I stood next to a guy in the takeout line. I mean, I had to remember how to be me.
Wow.
And so you're not alone is the first thing I would say. Number two, we have to lift, and this is where your all's ministry shines. Stigma is this word we have to eliminate. It actually is a Greek word. It means tattoo in the Greek, stigmatos. Mm. People feel tattooed. They feel labeled. They feel like they stick out if they struggle with mental pain. Think about C.S. Lewis and his book, The Problem of Pain, that great author, of course, C.S. Lewis. He said, it's so much easier to say my tooth is aching than my heart is broken, he writes. And so we have to eliminate stigma. You all do that so well. I'm trying to do that as well as a Christian thinker, because I want to be clear, Jesus Christ made no distinction between physical and mental healing. He healed them all. He did not make distinctions. Mm-hmm. And yet, in the Bible, we see that it takes a minute to get there. We come to Christ in a moment, Randy, as you know and as you've taught. Transformation's a process.
Yeah.
We have to eliminate all or nothing thinking with mental wellness. Mm-hmm. We have to learn to live in shalom. God gives us enough grace for today. Here's the cool thing. You know, you get all the delicious details when you interview the author after you finish the book. I had to have a major surgical operation. By the way, don't write a book about God's peace if you want to have God's peace. I felt like all the anxiety of hell has hit me since I've written this. Right. God wanted to take me to graduate school on the subject, as my good friend Robert J. Morgan said to me. We have to learn to live by faith in God's promises, not explanations. But the cool thing where God has continued to shape me is I want to help every person watching us today on Life Today International develop what I call a shalom plan, a peace plan
Fantastic.
For their life.
Unpack that for us.
So, Sheila, hopefully our audience members have an educational plan for their life that's either official or self-taught. Hopefully they have a financial plan, a budget they live by. Hopefully they have a 5 or 10 year plan if they're in business or have a vision. We make birthday plans. We're all Uber drivers for our children. I mean, I get it. We plan everything, except we don't intentionally plan how to live in the peace of God. And God wants us to. And the Holy Spirit, John 16, 13, he's our peace planner. We have financial planners. The Holy Spirit will guide us into truth. And these are really super practical steps that we can make. And I want to just remind our audience of something very briefly. St. Paul saw the Lord, we can say pretty sure, 7 times. He heard Jesus's voice in oracular form. That means he literally heard Jesus say, no, Paul, my grace is sufficient, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And yet Paul was still a professional warrior, Sheila. I mean, Sheila, if you had seen Jesus 7 times, heard his voice, Randy, I would say, you know what, Sheila, you better get it to you. Paul was still a professional warrior. And we often quote Philippians 4, the greatest anti-anxiety passage in all the Bible. We don't realize Paul had been a believer, Randy, 30 years before he wrote Philippians 4. 7 years earlier, he's in Troas. God's opened this incredible ministry door. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul says, I have no peace of mind. Mm. And I can remember being there, Sheila, and that's why my heart goes out to the entire Life Today audience. I needed a plan for my life. So I had to understand it's God's will for me to live in his peace. It's not a sin to struggle with anxiety or depression, but hope comes when we have a plan.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
One of the most important questions we can ask each other is, as brothers and sisters in Christ, who's helping you manage the stress, the anxiety, and the uncertainties in your life? I was meeting with a gentleman recently who just sold his company for $500 million. He said, no one, I'm steep in depression. So you can have all the money.
Right.
And yet, if you don't have a plan.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So how do we get there? And we help people with a plan. Comes through, the peace of God is a discipline, Randy. This is what's so cool about it. I wish we could, like, have a Nerf gun of peace pellets, you know? Like, you get the peace of God, you get the... No, we have to own it for ourselves. It's a discipline, and we can get there. So many believers, because there's so much stigma, though, they don't even know how to ask for help.
Yeah,
and the most courageous thing someone could do who's watching us right now is pick up the phone and call Life Today and say, will you just pray me through having the courage to ask for help?
Right, right. And we do have people available. That number on the screen is a number you can call if you don't have peace in your life and you want to talk to someone about it. But Jeremiah, you mentioned a couple of things that are the enemies of shalom. Mm-hmm. You mentioned stress. You mentioned worry. What would be some of the other ones that we need to be aware of? So when we see these things, we know these things are running counter to what
Absolutely.
God wants in our lives.
Randy, that is such an important question, because how do we get there? Here's the important point that I've learned from the laboratory of my life is I have to say no to certain things mm-hmm. for the bigger yes of God's peace in my life. So what is that? Let me explain my peace plan. For me, that meant I had to stop watching the news. I needed a news fast. Yeah. It was amazing. My world changed when I did a news fast. We have to stop doom scrolling. One of the worst things that the worst punishment, according to psychologists, is for Christians to be isolated, or for anyone to be isolated for that matter. You think about solitary confinement. We need to get social again. Mm-hmm. Where two or three are gathered. I mean, I'm feeding off your all spiritual vitality this morning, and the entire staff here. You can tell God is on this place from the minute you drive into Life Today. And so another thing that's so important, we're going to touch our phone, Randy, 2,000 times today. For some of our kids, it's even more. We're going to see 10,000 media messages today alone. So many of those are so full of lies.
Yeah.
And you've taught on this. And so the problem is a lie becomes a truth when we believe it and we act on the lie, even though it's a total lie from hell. And so we need, as believers, to be able to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And then there's other great practical things we can invite the peace of God. But what I want to encourage people to do, this gets really practical, Sheila. Look at your calendar. This is not like a decision you make one time and you don't look at it again. Lord, I'm going to give my calendar to you. Mm-hmm. One of the most sacred. And God, we're all saying yes too much. We need to say no to a few things.
Mm-hmm. I learned that no is a complete sentence.
Exactly. Thank you. We need to say that louder. It's, you know, and we're not people's savior either, Randy.
No.
This is something I've had to learn as someone as you do, as you as well. We stand out, we minister to people. They want to hear in 30 seconds something that they need a counselor to help them with mm-hmm. or a Christian therapist. And I want to share this with you. For those that feel called to ministry who are watching today, there is a great field of Christian counseling and psychologists, Christian psychiatry. Yep. Go into that field. You can hardly get an appointment today with Christian counselors because they're all booked. Yeah. And so we need more.
Yeah.
So.
You know, I was thinking when I first read your book and I thought about you and Audrey, you know, you have 5 children. You have triplets. How do you unleash peace in us? Triplets.
I'll let you know when we find out. My dad joke, Randy, is, you know, our triplets are 5 and a half, so I haven't slept in 5 and a half years.
Yeah, you know? No doubt.
You know. So, yeah, wow. we it's amazing when you learn God's peace, when you keep learning it. I mean, Philippians 4, Paul kept saying, I had to learn it. Jesus said, learn from me. But there's one other point I'd like to make, Sheila. When Jesus comes to the city of Jerusalem in Luke 19, because this is Passion Week, he looks on the city. They've just said, Hosanna. We praise your name. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And do you remember the first thing Jesus does in verse 41 and 42? He begins to sob over Jerusalem. Mm. There's a play on words here. Shalem, Shalim, peace. Jerusalem, city of peace. Yeah. Jesus weeps over the city of peace. He's weeping for the religious leaders. Oh, that you would have known the things that bring you peace, and yet they're hidden from your eyes. Mm.
Wow.
The religious leaders missed peace because they missed Jesus. So I hope religious people listening to us today will make sure they've not missed the peace of God because they've missed that first step, which is Jesus. Romans 5:1. By faith, we're justified by God's grace. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 5:1.
You talk about something that I think is very powerful, and you call it the presence principle.
Yeah.
Explain that.
It's amazing. The presence principle is the most important thing we can all do. We need to be present when someone is suffering and hurting, and we need to have this superpower called vulnerability. Mm. Paul gloried in his weaknesses. Of course, in today's celebrity Christianity, we don't glory in our weaknesses because there's so much stigma. Paul did. He was able to be vulnerable and practice the ministry of presence. And this is the book of James at work. Literally, it's to visit widows and orphans. It's people at their greatest point of need.
Yeah.
That's what it is. The force of the Greek is I have to visit someone in their greatest. There wasn't a greater point of need than being a widow or a child or especially a female in the first century world. Mm-hmm. Piaxi 744, if it's a girl, if it's a boy, keep it. If it's a girl, throw it away. Mm-hmm. And so you were vulnerable if you were a little girl in the ancient world. And Jesus gives us through Brother James this wonderful edict, as you've said, Matthew 5:19, blessed are the peacemakers. And so one of the most important questions we can, and this is so convicting, you can tell probably the Holy Spirit's still working on me. When you write a book on God's peace and when you begin to develop your peace plan, you have to ask yourself some difficult questions. Lord, am I an agent for peace in my family? Mm. Or am I an agent of conflict?
Yeah.
Lord, am I living in a truce? You don't want me to live in a truce. You want me to live in shalom. You want me to live, you want me to flourish. And by the way, we still have to fight our battles, Randy. Thank God for a life today standing on the front lines for Jesus Christ. I think of Gideon in Judges 6. He interrupts Jesus saying, God, if you're with me, why is all this stuff happening in my life? And God says, I will be with you, Gideon. Even though Gideon didn't feel strong, God said, you're strong. Mm-hmm. So remember, my faith isn't what I feel. My faith is what I believe. We could do a whole show on that. And then secondly, right then and there, Randy, is where we hear for the first time this descriptor of God. My God is peace. Yahweh Shalom, Judges 6. Gideon builds an altar to the Lord and calls it, my God is peace. He still has to go fight the Midianites.
Mm, that's interesting.
And it's messy. He doesn't do it perfectly. He goes by night. He's kind of like me, hard-headed. Are you sure, Lord? And yet God works with that, and that's where we meet Yahweh Shalom. So we still have to fight our battles.
Yeah, we
can do it with Shalom. Mm-hmm.
For somebody who thinks, what's the first step that I could take? What would you say?
The very first step you can take is know that it is God's will for you to live in His peace. Mm-hmm. It's not God's will for you to live in conflict. It's not God's will for you to live in confusion. It's biblical, and there is a plan. It doesn't happen overnight. Remember that song, He's Still Working on Me?
Yeah.
To make me what I have to be. I used to sing it in churches. I came to Christ in Euless, Texas.
You were singing?
Yes, for a very short time when I didn't know. And, you know, He's still working on us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Secondly, I want to encourage people to develop a care team. I have a care team in my life, and that consists, and my wife is not my therapist, by the way, and she's amazing. We've prayed together since she was 17. I'm not going to tell you her age, but we've prayed together for a long time. We've developed a care team. I have Christian psychologists, psychiatrists, biblical therapists, some of the finest Christians, Randy, that I've met. I'm talking about the choicest servants of God. They have a regular appointment with a great Christian therapist who helps them think biblically about, it's a burden, the burden under your shoulders, Randy, running this international, you know, Satan would love to take this ministry down. You guys are literally emblematic of the impact of the church in the world. We can make all these academic arguments for the faith. Life today is on the front lines, bringing people shalom. And so we need to pray a protection on this ministry as well.
You mentioned something that I want to go back to because I think it's important. You say that this is an ongoing thing.
Right.
I mean, it's a process. We're all on a journey.
Right.
And I want people to understand that. We don't just arrive and then it's in the past. Contrast, though, your life when you practice this peace and maybe times when you have it.
Right. So important. And this is where I'm being vulnerable with, and I feel so comfortable doing that on this set. The times when I try to live in my own strength, some things don't make sense. I want certainty, Sheila.
I know.
Certainty doesn't exist, by the way. Mm. Faith does not equal certainty. Faith equals trusting God through the uncertainty.
Oh, that's good. Mm-hmm.
And I had to learn this. Faith does not equal certainty. I was raised in a fundamentalist upbringing where, you know, to even ask a question was considered a sin. It's not a sin to question your faith. Jesus asks more questions than he answers.
Yeah.
In the Gospels, he asks over 300 questions. It's okay to question, but we don't want to stay there. We want to keep deepening our faith. And Randy, the Lord has blessed our ministry, Christian Thinkers Society, and I had to learn how to manage myself. I had to learn how to manage. When I ask you, who helps you manage the stress, anxiety, uncertainty, triplets, a growing ministry, content deadlines, you live there, Sheila, you both do. And then wanting to really minister to people as well. I don't need my grapes peeled in the back or room temperature water. I want to be among the people of God. But then it's exhausting. When I understand how exhausted Jesus was, I had to develop a care team. And I want to give people permission to have a Christian therapist, have a Christian psychologist. Medicine is a gift from God for those that need it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
The Lord has blessed us with these tools. He doesn't expect us to be perfect. We're not going for perfection. We have to eliminate the all or nothing thinking.
Yeah, right.
Peace of God. Transformation's a process. So here's the word that I'd love to leave people with: freedom. If you read Unleashing Peace, if you develop a peace plan for your life, you're going to start getting a glimmer of freedom. It's going to start opening, and you're going to realize, like, whoa, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
That's good.
This is an absolute gift. You're going to want to get hold of this book for yourself and for your kids and for your neighbors. And we're going to tell you how you can do that, how we will send that to you. But first of all, Randy and I would like you to watch something. There are some people in the world right now who desperately need physical freedom so that they can learn about the shalom of God. So would you watch this?
These are the faces of those who once were happy, once were safe, loved, cared for. Now they're vanishing at the hands of predators, abducted, misled. To distant cities they're taken, in foreign lands they're held captive. Their childlike innocence is erased. Freedom forgotten. Their spirit and will broken under abuse, under torture. Not only do these girls vanish, all that they were disappears too. Nowhere is there a darker evil than that perpetrated so viciously on the victims of sex trafficking. It may be the greatest evidence of Satan at work on this earth. And it isn't going away without a fight. Our Rescue Life partners are in place and ready to reach those who are most vulnerable, rescue those who have already been taken, and restore the precious lives of those who have survived the wickedness of human trafficking.
You know, when I was watching that piece, watching those little girls one by one disappearing, it reminded me of when I was a teenager in Scotland. In our neighborhood, a little girl went missing, and every single one of us were out on the streets. We stayed. We worked all through the night. We had flashlights because we were determined that we were going to find that little girl and we were going to bring her home. And it was a story with a happy ending. She had just got lost and wasn't sure where she was and eventually fell asleep. And I'll never forget the look in her mother and father's eyes when we were able to say, here she is and she's fine. That should be the case for every little girl who goes missing. But in so many countries around the world, that is not true. These barbaric traffickers take them and it's as if they never existed. But every single one of these children was made in the image of God. And you and I are on the earth at this point to be God's boots on the ground, to reach these children, to rescue them, and to restore them. But we need your help. This is our last week of Rescue Life. And if you haven't done anything, Randy and I are just asking you, will you please, please do something today?
Absolutely, and we are so thankful because we have some people that have graciously given a $320,000 matching gift. And what that means for you is that normally the average cost to reach, rescue, and restore one of these precious children is $128. But your gift today of $64 will help us do just that. And you know, this is one of the greatest evils, possibly the greatest on the face of the earth. But that's just an opportunity for us to show them our good and gracious God. we are his hands, his feet, as Sheila says, his boots on the ground. So I'm asking you to put your boots on the ground right now. Go to the phone or go online. Make the best gift you can. If you can make that gift of $128, we'll send you some great reminders of your faithfulness to this, and you will help reach, rescue, or restore two children. If you have the means, a gift of $1,280 will do that for 20 children. Whatever you can do, we just pray that you will join us and join the others who have said, we want to make a difference. We want to shine that light into the darkness. And we want you to be a part of that. It is such an honor to be able to represent our Lord in this world. That's what we're called to do. So please, go online, go to the phone, make the best gift you can, and know that you will be sharing the love of Jesus and rescuing a child from this awful evil. Do it now.
Innocent children and young people longing to be loved and cared for are being abducted and sold at the hands of violent predators, forced into the evil industry of human trafficking. Through Mission Rescue Life, you can reach out to warn children who are at risk for sex trafficking, rescue those already enslaved, and restore young lives and give them a future. With a generous $320,000 matching gift, now your gift of $128 to help reach, rescue, or restore one child can be doubled to help two children. Your $64 gift will be matched to help save one child from the horrors of human trafficking. And a $32 mission rescue gift will be doubled to $64. With your gift today, we'll send you the Prayers for Life Journal, the perfect book to write down your prayers as you reflect on your relationship with Christ. With your gift of $128 or more, you'll also receive the NIV Thin Line Bible, along with 365 Days of Prayer for Life, a beautiful devotional filled with scriptures and key thoughts for each day of the year. Keep all three resources close by for your daily prayer time as you meditate on God's Word. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,280, which will now help save 20 children, and you may request our inspiring bronze sculpture, Let the Children Come. This is the last week. Please call, write, or make your gift online.
Thank you. If the lines are busy, please keep calling. And for any gift at all, please request Unleashing Peace by our guest, Jeremiah Johnson. This is our last week of Rescue Life. We need your help. Let's do this. And Jeremiah, I just want to thank you for another killer book. It's so, so good. Thank you.
Thank you. Shalom to you both.
Amen.
And to you and to all of you. We appreciate you watching. We'll see you next time here on Life Today.
Bye.
I said to my wife when I come home, I said, I just love telling the stories of Jesus, but from these different perspectives.
Wow.
Creators of The Chosen, next week. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.